Can you? You can't even use it.
Sure can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, yes, man. You sent me the file, and now every time we start,
I was thinking, oh, you're overseas, you know.
Oh man,
you can't hear the music.
I'm all about the music, even though I wish it was a typo negative song.
Okay, so there's news on that.
What was there?
Oh, well. I messaged their Facebook page.
Bullshit.
I said, no. And I said, listen, this is who we are. This is what we're doing.
You did
it. I totally did.
That is amazing.
I totally did. So we'll just see. We'll just see what happens.
Well, hang on. You built that up. I expected some sort of reply from them.
No, I did it like an hour ago.
Oh, okay.
So to be continued.
Oh, my God. My heart just jumped out of my chest then.
Sorry, mate. All I can say is I have... Oh, wait, I've got some notifications on.
Check
it. It's only for a wedding.
Boring.
Jeez. Hey, hello.
What's up?
Where are you? Can I make an observation?
Which of those things should I address first? I'm in Toronto. Okay. Yeah, what's the observation?
Did I say where you are?
Yes.
My observation is you're wearing the same t-shirt as last week.
That's an interesting observation. You might then ask, have I washed it?
I'm assuming you have.
Well, look, you can assume that. You may be right. Well,
I know what it's like when you're traveling. It's like,
oh man. You know when you like you get so sick of wearing the same clothes over and over again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like you take at the start of the trip, which for me was 3 months ago, and I guess for you... was 3 months before, because your trip was like 3 months too, yeah?
Yeah.
So you're like, oh yeah, I'll take this lovely t-shirt that I love. And by the end of it, you're like, oh, I never want to see this stupid shirt again. So sick of it. It's got holes in it.
It's funny, I'm looking at the photo you took, the selfie of you before the podcast last week.
Oh my God, so good.
And that t-shirt looks a very like 10 shades lighter salmon. than it is now. I think it's just dirty now.
Well, it's funny. I think it's funny you should say that too, because in a first for the snappening, I'm about to do a live Facebook post of what
You're
I'm wearing
not.
Today. I'm.
Oh, really?
So
you
right
both
now.
Do one.
Okay, ready? I already took my photos.
Did
you?
Do you do
okay,
use right. photo booth?
No, just with my phone. Like I did selfies before.
Oh, right.
Currently recording. From, wow, I'm narrating.
Wait, can you take a photo of me in the screen as well somehow so that you can do a photo of both of us?
Yes, hold on.
Is this good radio or not? I think it's up there.
I think this is incredible. Okay, hold on.
I think you should get me with the mic because that's it.
Okay, ready? Hang on, there's GarageBand. Are you adjusting your hair? Oh, Greg's adjusting
No,
his
I'm
hair.
Not. I had a fly on my
okay. Okay, you ready? We did it.
That's cool because this is what you always see. Wait, what's behind me?
Imagine if there was... Oh, no, I'm not going to say that.
No, yeah.
Anything I could have said then would have probably been offensive. But you all know what I... Anyway. hey, how are you?
Me? Ah, good. I'm swimming in mess at the moment. I've got books... I've got CDs and I've got my model Ferraris that I've had since I was like 10 years old and I cannot get rid of. And so I need to put up some shelving for these three different things, books, CDs and Ferraris. So at the moment, they're all on the floor down there. And I just like an hour ago on Trade Me secondhand, I bought a new desk for my office because this one's not good enough. It's not big enough.
Just make one.
Yeah, well, I thought about that, but to buy the materials to make the desk I want would cost the same as I spent $100 on a secondhand desk, and it's one of these computer ones that height adjusts. It goes.
Nice.
It's like a proper desk. It's like really nice. So yeah, that's me. Hopefully, this time next week, I'll just be like set
Sweet.
Up. All done.
Are those cars you're talking about? They're like so long, and
one
they're
month.
Like. Yeah. Oh man!
One,
yeah,
1/18th scale.
I still love those cars.
I think I've got about 10, all different Ferraris.
And you can't throw them out, right?
Even I threw away the boxes. That was a big move.
Oh man.
That was hard work. I even asked like Facebook if I should or shouldn't. And all my friends were like, what are you thinking? but I did, and I kept the Ferraris, and now they're in a box, and they need to be out. Like Kat and I decided no more boxes. We need things out or throw away or whatever, get rid of.
Good call, man.
One thing I put on Trade Me last night is I don't know if you ever knew this. I have like an arcade machine, like a proper.
You do? No, I didn't know.
Spacey. Yeah. Oh. Do you know the game Raiden? It's the one where you're the plane. You're the jet at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
And you get more and more power as you go. You're going
vertically, right?
Yeah.
And there's like huge things. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And the actual big arcade machine.
The whole big. I've had it for years, like 13 years. And so time to go. Time to go,
Raiden.
$1 reserve. So what do you reckon you'll get?
Wow. What do you reckon that sort of thing's worth? It's got a lot of like vintage value, doesn't it?
More than 500.
I would have said definitely more than
I'd be happy with anything. It's 80 kilos.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a joke. Yeah. Cat is just so happy because it's going.
Getting out of her house.
No, yeah, it's been in the shed, and even that's too much for her.
I'm about to do a live. What's that? Instagram. There you go. Say hi, Greg. Oh, no, they can't hear you because I've got headphones on. Snapping. There we go. If you looked at my Instagram. Okay, sweet. All right, cool.
Okay, so you mentioned. Do you want to say anything? Where are you? Toronto.
Yeah, in Toronto. I'm so good to my friends because one of our friends who lives here, we came over to her place for dinner, and we arrived, and I was like, A, can I get a drink from your fridge? And B, can I have your Wi-Fi password? Because I'm going upstairs to record an episode of The Snapping. She was like, okay. So Michelle and her are currently downstairs, like cooking dinner and hanging out. And I just came upstairs because I know where my priorities lie.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm in Toronto. I actually leave tomorrow. Tomorrow, going to get an Uber to the airport and then go to Hawaii for 5 days.
Cool.
And then come home. Home.
When you go to Hawaii, what kind of accommodation have you organized?
Airbnb. Like
this is pretty good, man.
Oh, man. Like, Airbnb has totally changed the way we travel. And we've used Airbnb, even on this trip, probably 10 times. On every trip we do, we use it. It doesn't matter if it's one night or a week. And I think we've had one or two sort of bad experiences, but they weren't bad. They were just like, this place is okay. Like one of them smelled like smoke and one of them was a little not as clean as we would like. But we've never had anything I would deem as a negative experience. Like the only time we use a hotel now is when we're in a real rush or when we just need something, say, at the airport. You know, like an airport hotel. Sure. Like just you just need something with a shuttle.
You just need to crash, have a shower.
Yeah. That's right.
I gotcha. That's great, man. That's cool. So will we do a podcast with you in Hawaii? We might skip it.
Maybe. Think we could. Because Tuesday or Wednesday next week, because I don't fly. I fly home on Wednesday. We should get one if we record on Tuesday, because otherwise when I get home, I'm going to be so tired.
Oh, yeah. You'll be so busy. Yeah. So whatever. We'll see. Do you want to punch through to a snapdown?
snapdown. Actually, you could probably put the music over the top of my crap intro there.
Nah, it's happening. It's going to sound
amazing. All right. Yeah, man. Do you want to go first or should I just kick on?
You go, man.
Okay. I'm just putting that Insta story up. Yeah. So here we go. Opening my notes. All right, I thought I'd just make one little snapdown comment here. So, ages ago, I told you that there's a SIM card place in Sydney where you can buy SIM cards before you leave forever around the world. Sure. So, I'm using my T-Mobile USA SIM card in my iPhone right now. And just for argument's sake, I was like, oh, I'll do a speed test. On that speed test app.
Yeah. Speed test. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
it's like Ookla.
Yeah. Ookla. Or
something. Yeah, it's that thing.
Yeah.
So on my 4G on my T-Mobile, I'm getting 140 down on 4G. Oh, it's LTE, I guess. 140 down and 40 up or something ridiculous.
Whoa.
Which is like faster than anything you can get in a cave, in a sort of a landline in Australia. Although you guys have pretty fast internet, right? Is that faster?
Well, no, not at my house right now. We're on 5 down 1 up right now.
Oh, you're on like what we would call ADSL 2.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing, dude. That's
when can you
incredible.
Get? Are you gonna get like something faster?
Well, they said that we've got VDSL. Like that's what we are currently paying for, although it's a free upgrade. But that's like what we're assigned to. But it's the same. Damn. The speed didn't change. Get this: the guy on the phone was like, "Oh, it takes 10 days for the wiring to adjust to the new VDSL." Mm. I was like, "Dude,
emotional wire."
Yeah,
don't touch me.
I was like, man, that really sounds phony baloney.
Yeah, really. It's like, are you making that up? Come on, man.
So that's just amazing. Yeah, I was stoked with the cell coverage and the speed. We don't get LTE in New Zealand at all. Is it in Australia?
We get 4G, but I think LTE is technically faster than 4G, although I'm not.
Yeah. Really. It is. So yep.
Do you guys have 4G though?
Yeah, we got 4G.
Yeah, so we don't have LTE. We just have 4G.
No. I'd never seen it on my phone before until in the States, in Canada. Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, my little snap down is if you have Instagram, you should go to Instagram and you should search for this incredible... you should search for at, one word, Van Cat Meow. Just like you'd think it's spelled VanCatMeow. So there's this guy, I think he's from Tasmania. He had this job that he hated. And he was like, you know what? This sucks. I'm quitting my job. And I'm going to travel around Australia in my Volkswagen van with my cat. So now he's spent like, I think he's in his like third year driving around Australia in his old Volkswagen van. And his black cat just cruises around with him. And so everywhere he goes, he's just posting photos of his awesome black cat. Like he just turns up somewhere, he'll open his van up, put out his little tent, whatever, cook his dinner, and he lets his cat out. And his cat just cruises around, like checks out the scenery, walks around. And then, yeah, just comes back and, you know, they each have their own deck chair and they just hang out next to the van. And the guy's like a pretty solid photographer. So he's got some nice photos of this really cute cat. And yeah, man, I just thought that was a really nice little thing that, you know, if you like cats, like most normal people do, then you know you probably like that.
It's really cool. I'm looking now. I can't. Do you think your cats would survive? Would cope if you just drove?
They would not.
I'm trying to think. Like one of our cats, Cisco, he'd be okay, but wouldn't they just freak out and run away and run up a tree? Yeah. I don't know.
My cats would not be happy, man.
I'm pretty stoked with this guy. He's gone all the way around Australia.
It's a legit like trip, and as you can see, the cat appears to be like he's like YOLO. I'm just gonna travel around Australia and I don't care about anything.
That's great. That is
so good.
Good one, Tom. Very nice.
Do you like that one?
Yeah, sweet. Now, if I was to have a snap down, I don't know how I'm gonna bring it back to something.
Photography. Who cares? Who cares?
He takes photos of the cat. So
it's on Instagram, which is a photography platform. So I figure. Whatever.
When I was in Canada, my friend Daniel Costello, who is a geologist and photographer and drone expert pilot, in Lightroom, do you ever use the highlight and shadow color adjustment tools?
Oh, so I guess split toning.
Split toning, yeah.
Yes, but I've never. I would love to, but I never really got them properly.
Sure. He told me this. He was like, oh, you've got to use the old split toning, blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh, really? Just like you, I'm like, I know they're there, but I wouldn't have a clue what to do with them.
Yeah.
And he said, what you do, and it made so much sense, is he says, you put the saturation up to like something high, like 50.
Yeah.
And then you change the highlight or shadow tones, and then you put the saturation back down to something reasonable like 10 or 5 or whatever. But by exaggerating that saturation, you can see what it's doing. You know, you can really look at the photo and go, I see how that's changing. Get it to where you want it, and then put the saturation back down, and you're like, it made a difference. So, yeah.
So that's a really good idea. So he's kind of saying choose the color first and then worry about the amount you're applying or something like that.
No, no, no. Change the amount first. So that's the saturation. Crank that then right up.
Yeah.
And then you can then choose the color that looks just how you want it to look.
Oh, yeah. The opposite of what I said.
And then take the saturation down and yeah. So that for me, that was like a little
light bulb,
a little easy step to actually start using that function.
And have you
Well, it's one of those. Okay, for weddings, you got to kind of limit how many sliders you use because when you're doing 1,000 photos or whatever. But yeah, once you can see how it works like that, I don't know, when you're really critically editing, you know, one of those sort of top 20 photos from a wedding or something, that's probably when I'd use it.
Do you off the cuff here, but do you use a preset system or do you use your own presets?
I use my own, but they've been created using a couple of different purchased ones.
So like you've molded them.
I got all the Visco ones, and I got those Archipelago. Is that it? Archipelago
Ones? Tribe.
Archipelago, yeah. And I've just made with all of that and learning the way they create filters or presets. I've made my own, and now I've got a black and white and a color that I'm pretty much rock solid on.
Because I was just thinking a few weeks ago about presets and how they affect like overall style and branding, and I was like, you know what, I don't want to be a slave to a certain type of preset. It would be really nice if I could make my own preset. And then so I tried to make my own, and I realized, man, I got to admit, I got no idea how to make a preset. Like if I just had to start, I tried to start from scratch. So I took a photo that I liked and that I thought was in a semi-neutral light, like it wasn't super bright or dark, and I tried to start making a preset, and I changed, did a bit of contrast and blacks and highlights and shadows and whatever, sharpening, and then I just ended up with this photo that just looked like crap, and it had come straight from the camera and it had been sharpened, and then I did what you did, and I looked at what, say, my Visco preset that I've been using for 4 or 5 years, what it does to the image, and then I saw, okay, it changes all the HSL, the color balances and stuff, and it's really so I'm trying to make my own one at the moment. I'm trying to do what you did, but I'm finding it like pretty tough.
That tone curve is a hard thing to master. I think I don't think it's the kind of thing we should talk about on this show, but it's a good thing. I'm sure there's like a YouTube video out there that explains.
I
know how it works. I know that you've got your highlights at one end and shadows at the other, and you drag it up and down. But as far as mastering it, that's where I just drop in the Visco or the other ones into that part.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Nice. So yeah, try those if you want. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, I got a topic I want to talk about, and it might not. I'm worried that you're going to be like, I'm not interested. See you later. So will you just bear with me?
In two weeks
or 1.5 weeks, I've got my first expo coming up.
Okay. Well, I'm all about. No, it's a great topic. I love these. It's a fantastic, interesting topic.
Thanks, John. I've done expos before with my other businesses. I did double glazing expos for like 4 years, and they were grueling. This one, they were a week long. This is only for a couple of days, and it's the local Matakana Wedding Expo. It's looking like it's going to be really nice.
Okay.
The thing I wanted to ask you about, I'm happy if you've got any information about expos for people, but specifically I wanted to talk about, do we need to do some sort of discount or special at an expo? If I just throw that question to you, do you have an answer? Like, do you have a gut feeling on that one?
That's a really good question.
Do you need me to? I've done a bit of kind of research on this, so I can chime in if you want to
I definitely have. I think I have an opinion. So do you want to give me your rundown first, and then I'll tell you what I think?
Well,
I mean,
no. I'd love it if you just went for it. That's cool.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think depending on your location, your prices, like your target market, your budget, And how much work you have, I think expos can be a wonderful thing. So I did an expo. Did you know I did an expo in the Southern Highlands? I think 2 years ago.
I knew I think you'd at the done time something. You
probably, yeah. Yeah, I did the Southern Highlands Wedding Expo. It was awesome. Like, it was supremely tiring, and it was really busy. And I think I booked about 6 weddings as a result. So it was okay. Financially worth it. I didn't do it the following year because what was the reason? I don't remember what. But no, it was really good. I think if it's the right expo as well, like you said, the expo that you're going to do, I think probably sounds like it's a really good one for you.
It's targeted at weddings in my area. So okay. Perfect. You can't really get any better.
Yeah. Perfect, perfect. As to your question, well, what I did, yes, I did offer a discount, although I didn't really phrase it like that. What I did is I shared my stand with a good friend who is a videographer. So I was there, he was there, people could talk to us both individually, and then what we did is we made this thing which we called the package, and it was a special for the day, and it was photography and videography, which is like together, which is something that normally they would have to book us just randomly separately, you know, but to get this time we would offer ourselves together, and we both took like a little bit off our packages, not much, like I think we took like 200 bucks off each, a little bit. But when you
not
put
even
them,
10%.
Oh man, like it was almost like a symbolic discount, because I do think that discounting too much is kind of you're shooting yourself in the foot because you're still going to do the same amount of work. You might even get another booking for that date, and later on you're like, well, I gave these people a huge discount, and now I'm basically earning less money. However. If a little symbolic discount does book you extra weddings, then sure, I think it's a good idea. And it's always nice, like psychologically, I mean, you know, you've studied the workings of the mind. You probably know way more about this than I do, but if a person feels they're getting something that's better value than normal, they're gonna arguably be more inclined to pay for it, right?
Right, yeah.
And what do you think?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you did offer a package. I was a little bit worried that you'd be like, nah, full price. Blah blah blah. I want to offer something, and Kat and I have talked about what we could offer, and you could do something crazy like a free wedding, like anyone that books you at the show, but you'd probably extend it out to maybe the month after the show as well. Goes in the draw to win their wedding for free. Okay, so that's, but to me, that's crazy. I'll just list our options and then we can go back and say how stupid that. the next one is you give a discount off a certain package or all your packages or whatever you do. So pick a number like 5%, 10%, show special, book. You could say book today, but really it's not going to be that day. Probably it's going to be within the week or the next week.
Sure.
So you say, look, when you're talking to someone at the show, you say, look, I've met you. You are going to get 10% off if you book me before the end of the month or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is you give away something for free, an album as an example. You give away an album. So I agree with you about the discounting. I've gone off discounting altogether because, man, I mean, I book just about every weekend without discounting. So if I get 10 people come through the show and book me at a discounted rate, that discount times 10, I'm losing all that money because I don't need the work, you know?
Exactly right.
Well, yeah. But anyway, so then giving away a free wedding, I think that there's too much. It's a lot to give away. And what if I only take one booking?
Yeah.
It's like, oh boy. And also then I don't like the idea of it being a draw and how honest is the draw and I've got to be careful that I'm doing, I just don't like all that. So, the last thing is the, giving away a free album and, you know what? The thing about giving away a free album is there's a retail price for an album, which is thousands, you know, it's whatever. Then there's a wholesale price, which is, it's a lot less.
Yeah.
So the benefit is you're giving away something that has a high value to the customer, but a much lower value to us.
This sounds like very intelligent business ideas here.
Well, this has taken like good 2 or 3 weeks for me to figure out. And the way I see it is, if you give away a free album, it doesn't have to be like your standard album. You could have less pages and it could be a smaller size. But, you know, there is the value is still there. And I'm just going to drop a name here. And Sarah Lee, she actually kind of implanted this idea in my mind a week ago.
Isn't that a cake manufacturer?
Sarah Lee, it sure is, in the States.
Man, are you well, we have it in Oz too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, man. Are you down with the cake factory people?
The cake factory? No, I don't think I am.
No, but if Sarah Lee gave you this idea.
Oh, I see. Am I in with them, do you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I really hope I'm not. No, trust me. They're the last people. I'd just be so obese.
Didn't they make those, remember those awesome ice cream cakes called, were they Viennettas or something?
Yeah, Viennettas.
Remember those?
Yeah. Was that Sarah Lee?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, they're famous.
I'm Googling it, ready? Viennetta.
Well, while you're Googling, I'll just say, yeah, Sarah Lee, who's a photographer up in Whangarei in New Zealand, she gave me this idea. And nice one, Sarah Lee. So let's say you find something that costs you about $200, which for me is about a 20-page, 20-page something or other by Queensberry. I just got to check the album sizes. And you say, for the show, this is what we're doing. We're giving away this free album. And the retail, you know, it could be about $1,000. It's costing me about maybe $300 with, you know, by the time everything's all said and done. And it looks great to the client, and it's only costs me so much. I think it's a good option.
Okay. Question. So how does this affect your, like, what's the draw? Is the draw, come and see me, and if you book me, you go in the running for a free album?
No, I think it's got to be that everyone gets a free album with a certain package.
Okay. Now, I see what you're saying. Because another option might be every wedding that's booked with an album, like after seeing me, like you said, you know, after meeting me at the expo,
the show, all that, yeah.
get X number of free pages.
Okay, right.
So then you're still earning money for the album, because you know often what they'll do is the album cost is X, which is the bulk, like the minimum, let's say the minimum page is at 20 pages or whatever it is, 20 pages.
Yeah.
And that costs X, and then that's the biggest cost to you, and then extra spreads or pages actually don't actually cost that much to you. So that's just something that occurred to me, that it's a way of maintaining that base money that you're getting from your brides and grooms, and you're still offering that free thing, but to you it's even less of an outlay, because it's the cheapest, you know, like, to, I mean, with my album company, I think, to which is Vision Art, to add an extra spread is like $9 or something like that.
It's so cheap.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so, that's an interesting way of doing it as well. So you could say you get a free 10-page album or something, and then add more pages.
What I meant was if you book an album package, we'll upgrade you to the next level of album for free or something like that. Which I don't know if that would be as much of a draw. Like, that's just what I thought of just then. But you know,
no, fair enough. The downside with the album thing is it's you got to put in the time making the album.
Yeah,
and then proofing it and all that.
It's time consuming. Yeah.
Anyway, so look, well, I don't know. Is there a blaringly obvious idea for as an incentive at a show that I'm missing? Maybe this is a chance. If people have any awesome ideas, tell us.
Yeah.
Let us know, because it's a hard one.
I am going to tell you one of my little secrets right now, and I may have already told you, and it's something I started offering at what?
I love your little secrets.
I'm unbuttoning my... No, don't. I don't know if I've already told you about this, but it's something I started offering at the expo. So here's the thing. Albums are not cheap to the client, as you have said. So I wanted to figure out a way that I could give more albums to people, especially those that don't have the money for a full album, which the cost of the album, yes, it's the cost that we have to pay to our suppliers, But like you said, the main cost of the album is the time it takes us to put it together and revise, take the client's revisions and then make the changes, order it, receive it, wrap it, post it. It's a time issue, right?
Yeah.
So the largest, one of the largest aspects of that is the revisions. So they submit their revisions and then we go through and change them. So I thought to myself, what about I offer a discounted album that has no revisions allowed? So I called it, I invented it. I think I invented it. Maybe someone else does it. I call it a surprise album. And so here's what I did. My normal albums are 25 spreads, which is 50 pages. So I started offering a 15 spread album. I choose the photos. I choose the cover material. I choose the layout. The bride and groom don't get any revisions. They don't get to, they don't even know anything about the album until they see it physically. And it is about almost half the cost of a normal album. So wow. I'm probably not really making much money on, like I'm definitely breaking even and I'm making, yeah. So I'm making money for the overhead and my time, but I'm saving that huge amount of cost which I set aside in my normal album for the back and forth with the revision. And the reason I think this is really good is that, look, you get an album from your photographer, you show people, right? It's even though we're in a digital age where there are blogs and things, like you can't beat a physical album. And and the joy that I get, the feedback I get from people saying how much they love the album, it's just priceless. So I've actually had I probably gave maybe 15. I had 15 orders last year for surprise albums. So that's money that I wouldn't have had, and people who have albums that I made, which they are showing
that's
their friends.
That's right. And, so, and that album sits on a coffee table forever.
Exactly. So, and you do the best part of it yourself, which is design it, and you don't have to, like, no one will come back and say, hey, move this. You know, you just do it and you order it. So maybe that's something you could offer.
That's fantastic. I love it, because that's the takes away the biggest downside of the whole album making process.
And you could even make it an expo special. Like you could be like, I'm going to offer these surprise albums for
surprise album
or something like that.
That's really good, Tom. That's great. I like it. So I just have to call mine the something not surprise, because that's your idea.
Because we're in a different market, so it's fine.
Except no one else that's listening can do it.
No. If you're in Australia, you must call it something else.
Yeah. Hey, that's awesome. I'm gonna look. I think that's a great idea, man. Because it just takes that. I'm all about taking away like the. Have you ever heard of a pain point? It's like if you're doing something and there's this one bit you hate. Like for me, it was wrapping up the package of the USB and all that.
I hate that so much.
That was a pain point for me. And that's why I do digital only.
Yes. Never look back.
So, no, but I love taking away those. So, hey, that was a really good hustle, man. Good job.
Cool, man.
Nice.
I'm glad
we smashed it. Do you reckon I need to go over top with my display? What do you do for displays, like making it look nice and all that?
Yeah, I did. I did have a pretty sweet display. I paid a stylist. And so it was good because she was exhibiting at the fair as well. So she was going to be there. Okay. And so I paid her and I turned up and my stall was ready. I turned up, I put a few prints that I had brought in frames, and there was like a really cool, one of those wingback sofas, like this really old, it was beautiful with some single chairs. I brought my iMac, I played some slideshows. It looked really good. And I do think it makes a difference. So I think if you're going to do it, you might as well make it look amazing and make it feel really welcoming to people. So I think it's really nice to have it professionally styled. There are going to be stylists there anyway. So sling some cash.
Well, we're going to do it ourselves. And I've got a little bit of spare time, so it's all good at the moment. I'm going to go with the whole like rustic wood background and fairy lights draped across, that whole shebang.
You can't go wrong with fairy lights.
the one thing I'm wondering about is, do I need some spotlights to put on the photos to like make them pop?
Yeah,
because I've got some big canvases. I got 8 canvases printed.
Jeez, are you serious?
Yeah, this Yeah. Actually, wow. I'll plug. Just can you quickly talk about something about shows while I look for the company? Because I'm going to plug them.
With pleasure. Let me see. The hardest part about the expo that I did was I was so tired by the end of it. Like, you know when you're talking just nonstop for the whole day and my mouth got really dry and I was drinking heaps of water and then I had to pee all the time, kind of really frustrating. Then I was hungry and then I needed coffee. But man,
were you able to leave the stand and just quickly like go to the toilet and stuff?
Yeah. I think, who was that? I'm pretty sure Michelle. Oh, no. Michelle wasn't there because Tom Coburn, who's my really good friend, who's a videographer, he was stand with me. Yeah. So one of us would go off. Yeah. It was awesome. And I'm pretty sure he got a fair few bookings from it too. I thought about it doing it again this year. I did. The first time it was on a Saturday, which is so silly because no wedding professional. Crazy. Yeah. So they changed it to a Sunday. I might do it again. It's really good also to be involved in things like that. And probably for the same industry. With you, like, yeah. And also you're not in a major city. You're in a smaller area and it's just, even if you got no bookings or one booking, but it's really good for your, I had brides who already booked me and they were so excited to come see me at the fair. It was like a validation that they booked a person who was involved in the community. So that was really good. So now I know this is not the response you were expecting from me and I totally, I'm surprised.
Pleasantly surprised.
But yeah, I think it's a really good thing.
So the canvasfactory.co.nz is where I got my canvases from. I got 8 printed and they arrived in 4 days. They're big, big, like huge, big canvases.
That's pretty big.
Hey, the other thing I was going to just say about that, Tom, you were just saying about, what were you just talking about?
Expos.
Expos. Oh, man.
Branding?
Oh,
Don't forget you want to ask me. Sorry.
Do you have print-offs of like your prices and that kind of stuff?
Oh, no. I did this thing where I wanted to be in control of chasing them up. I didn't want them to have to contact me. So I made a simple spreadsheet and I got all their emails and I emailed them all the following morning.
On your laptop?
Yeah, I had my laptop there and I had a spreadsheet and I put their details in and then I emailed them afterwards. Yep.
Yeah, good one. Nice.
Yep. But no, okay, cool. I think I had my iPad with the package on it, but I just showed them.
Okay, last question, and then the interrogation will be over. did you have any kind of takeaway stuff for them, like a stupid bag or a pen?
No.
Or, okay, cool.
No, because
I love that. People do it, and it infuriates me.
What a waste.
But even though I know logically you get home from the show, you tip out your bag and you look at all the stuff, but it's just the whole wasteful side of it. I just want to have nothing.
It's so wasteful. And also, if you've seen 5 or 6 vendors and you have 5 or 6 bags, you get home, as if you're going to look at them. You throw most of them out. Yeah. Also, you don't remember which thing you saw and which was connected to which person. Like, I think it's just an absolute waste.
No, you've got the
paper,
right idea.
Time. Yeah.
Man, when I did my double glazing home show, we got everyone to write down their name on a piece of paper, put it in the box, and then I would have my list of leads to contact the next few days.
Perfect.
And look, you want to be in control. You nailed
Absolutely.
That one, Tom.
Absolutely. Well, man,
nailed
so did you.
It.
So did you.
Nailed it. Hey, that's great. I'm stoked with how that went. Good job.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Okay, go.
You have been quite active on the Studio Ninja Facebook group.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I'm very proud of you. And because
you're proud of me.
Well, no, it's great. Like, how good is it? How good is that group where you can write a question and the guys, like literally the guys who own it, will probably respond to you within half an hour.
Yeah, it's really good.
As long as it's daytime in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that felt nice. It's always nice when you write something and Chris is like, hey, that's a good one. And you're like, yeah.
I always find it's so impressive how amicable all his comments are. Like, it doesn't matter how many questions are asked or how many of them he's answered 100 times. He's like, hey. Whereas I think like, it were me, I'd be like, oh my God, scroll up.
Because everyone's... like a first timer at some point, like every day there's a new person on there.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I think that every day also there's one extra person that rolls their eyes at like a noob question, you know? It's like, how do I do something with an invoice? You're like, oh. And then Chris comes along.
So
super
happy.
Nice. Yeah.
And also we were those noobs not long ago, weren't we?
It's true. Very true.
I probably asked a really stupid question when I first signed up, like
I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and find one.
Search for post by Thomas Stewart. And then next week, you'll be like, check this noob comment out.
Yeah. Well, I did. What was that thing that you commented on? Something. Oh, yeah. So I was going to ask you about contact. Okay. All right. Here we go.
All right. when Greg makes that little noise, it means he's about to get serious with the question.
It's going to get real. All right. Yeah. When you get a new inquiry, okay? Some bride, she types, to Stu, love your work and beard and salmon shirts.
Salmon with holes in them. You mean shirt, because I have one of them.
Oh, sorry, just one shirt. Okay. She hits enter. Now, how are you notified by that? Via email, right?
Yes.
So you get the same thing I do. It's the little ninja with like hearts or something going like, I have a new contact inquiry.
And then my heart flutters and I get so excited.
You're like, oh yeah, someone likes me.
What's up?
So I'm just looking at my most recent one, which was last night, but I'm already booked. 24th of March is the new 24th of
There's
February.
One of them every year.
So anyway, I get the little heart guy. He's cute. What I want to know is then what do you do? You get the email with the heart guy. You have a new client inquiry. What do you do next?
That's a great question, Greg. And can I just say first that I'm pretty sure the guys at Studio Ninja are pretty close to... They're totally overhauling the lead management system. And I hear it's going to be way more streamlined.
Yes. He left a comment on something just recently, didn't he, old Chris?
Okay, so what do I do now? So if I'm pretty cheap, if I'm booked on the date already... I'm quite cheeky, and I'll ask the person if they have any flexibility in their date. And
okay, specifically, I want to know how you contact the person.
Okay, that was my next little point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If that's okay, if I'm already booked on the date, chances are they're not going to change it for me because you know that's probably it's pretty unlikely. It does happen, but it's unlikely.
You can ask.
Yeah, there's no point going into Studio Ninja, creating a new job, starting a workflow if it's not going to go anywhere. So I literally hit reply to the email from Studio Ninja. Gotcha. Hey, sorry I'm booked. Any flexibility? Probably not. No worries. I'll delete the job.
Yeah.
If I'm free on the date, then I would go into Studio Ninja, add new job.
Okay.
And isn't that what you... Like, that's the only thing to do, isn't it?
Well, okay. So let me get this straight. You go into Studio Ninja, you create a new job or whatever, and you start emailing them from in Studio Ninja.
Oh, absolutely. My workflow, so add a new job, put in their name, date, whatever, everything that is pulled in from the contact form.
Yeah.
Then I have a new wedding or new inquiry / wedding workflow, so that I start that straight away.
Yes.
Very first thing in the workflow is send... initial response
reply email. Yep.
Whatever. The reason I want to start the workflow straight away is that it will prompt me to send a 7-day reminder to them. So if I haven't heard anything within 7 days, the system Studio, which is why I love Studio Ninja, because it's like, hey, this person hasn't written back to you, or check to see if this person has replied. If they haven't, send the chase up notification.
All right, let's just continue this workflow. So you send them an email from within Studio Ninja saying, "Hey, yo, what's up? I'm available."
Yeah.
And you ask them some sort of question or whatever.
Yeah.
They reply.
Yeah.
But that goes into your normal mail inbox.
That's right.
And so then, if you were going to send another reply back, what would you do?
Then I would reply from within Gmail.
Okay. So then it hands over. At that point, you send that first initial email, and then what did you just get?
Cheers, cheers.
Hey.
Thank you. What
is that? Is that a gin?
Is this a gin? Oh, it's a G&T. Oh yes.
Nice.
Oh, what's a gin smash? tell the microphone. Okay, what's a gin smash?
It's gin with grapefruit juice, lime.
Wow.
And it has a little bit of carbonation to it.
Sounds amazing.
Thank you.
I want to see your face.
Okay,
now.
Ready? I'm going to try it live on. We're actually recording our podcast right now, so you're about to be live on the podcast.
She's live. Ready?
Gin smash. Mmm.
Gin smash.
Gin smash. That is so fresh. It's like there's a party in my mouth, woo! And everyone's in bed. Thanks, man.
Home and Gin Smash did not sponsor this content.
Thanks, heaps. Okay. I'll be there soon. The child is getting dragged along the floor.
Ah, oh, cute.
Thank you.
Tell her we need a release form.
A release, yeah. I'll get her to sign it. Wow, the person that whose house I'm at, who I'm ignoring because I'm doing our podcast, just brought me a gin.
Outstanding. Dude, you are set for life.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
No, that was great because, we ascertained that you hand over the emailing duties to Gmail once you've sent that initial reply.
But is that what you do?
No, I've been sending that initial reply from my email. So I don't create a job until they come back to me, I suppose, again, and I kind of wait a few more steps, and then I go in and create a job.
Okay.
Which I don't think is correct. I like your way the best.
I don't think there's a correct way. I think it's just if that system works for you, then
I was just ignorant to the fact that I should be sending that first one from Studio Ninja because then it's all in Studio Ninja. So no, I like that. I'll definitely try that.
Well,
I might do a mock one and see what it looks like.
I mean, there are other benefits of doing that because then I know you do have a template system with your emails. I think you just pull stuff from a Word document, yeah? An initial response to an inquiry, are you pretty much hand, you just hand typing, off the top of your head? Okay, see, I mean,
I used to have a template that I'd use, but then I kind of just got a bit lazy and just started typing them. That's okay. Counterintuitive because it would be more work.
Well, that's the thing. And the thing is, if you start the job in the system of Studio Ninja, at the point where you send the first email, I've created about 6 or 7 different initial emails depending on the scenario. If sometimes they say, hey, the inquiry says, hey, we'd love to work with you, but we don't have a date yet. So I have a response that is for lead free on date, no date given or whatever. And so I've pre-written all those. So yeah, and then I just, the time it takes to hand type and blah, 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 it's just a waste of time.
No, it's a nightmare. Yeah. Great. Hey, look, dude, that's awesome.
You should you should do that, and you can report back next week as to how.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking is we'll leave it there, and I'll do that.
Okay.
So Chris from Studio Ninja did say that he would be keen to come on the show and give us a bit of
great.
a walk through. Yeah. So as you say, he said to me he wanted to wait until this new lead management was sorted out. So it could be quite soon.
Can we drop the
good one.
The code in here?
Yeah, we can. Do you know it?
Do you know? Yeah, I do. Should I tell mine? Okay, yeah, so yeah. We have a coupon code for Studio Ninja. So if you're thinking of signing up, you should use this coupon code, thesnappening50. That is all one word, thesnappening50. And that will give you a pretty sweet discount on your first year of subscription.
50% off, right?
It's mega.
Huge.
Mega.
Hey, nice one. Right, anything else we want to need to cover? That was. I think that was pretty solid.
That was mammoth. I do have a song of the week.
I was pumped, man, after talking about typo last week. I was pumped. And the first thing I did when we hung up was put on typo naked.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greg, I would like you to go and listen to a band called, I don't know how to pronounce this, Woods of Ypres. Woods meaning like a forest, like Woods. Woods of Ypres. How would you pronounce that? Ypres?
I don't know.
don't know. Anyway.
Finality, I see. you say, yeah.
And the song that I love, which is a really happy song, really poppy and very positive, is called "I Was Buried in Mount Pleasant Cemetery." And it's definitely doom metal again. So you know,
I'm listening to it right now in my headphones.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's slow, dark.
The piano at the beginning.
Oh, it's very moody. Very very moody and fantastic. So that's my song of the week. Can I?
Nice. Yeah.
Put you on the spot and what do you reckon? You got a song?
Oh, my song of the week.
You don't have to have one. Like I just totally sprung this on you.
You certainly did. I did, didn't I? What am I really into at the moment? Shall I? We'll deviate away from typo just for this.
Well, you can do that. What's the song that you've been just crushing on the last week or so?
I do have. Now you've really put me on the spot. Okay, but I have, and I'm the kind of guy where once when I like a song, I just repeat it,
and you just
a thousand times over. Oh,
I know.
If I go to iTunes and I go library and I go plays, and I go how many times I've played songs. Wolf Moon is top at 23 plays.
Of course it is.
Maybe I'll just make it Wolf Moon. All right. So the song is called Wolf Moon, and it's by Typo Negative. And, it's a beauty.
Wolf
and
Moon.
It's 23 plays.
Which actually isn't that many, is it? Given
It take into account my phone? I don't know if it adds my phone in because I've been smashing it. There is. Can I? I've already got next week's song, but I'll leave it.
Okay. Wow, this has been huge episode.
Yeah, it has. It's been great. Hang on, I'll just get you back on the screen.
Knowledge Central. Hey, did you add in that horn last week?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Because I don't have the. I don't know where the app's gone. So yeah.
Oh, you know what's so funny?
What?
When what's your friend's name who brought you the drink?
Oh, Joe.
Joe, when she came in and gave you the GNT or whatever it is,
yeah,
the horn that I put in from last week went off.
Played.
And you were holding your phone, and I was like, yeah. He's like, do-do-do-do-do. But it was on my... I didn't realize it must have been on my screen. Oh, so I'll just leave... I'm going to leave that one in.
Leave it in, man. Leave it in. And now, wow, I want to hear it. I'm going to have to... Because I didn't hear it on my end, obviously. I want to hear it.
Oh, it was awesome. Perfect timing. Okay, yeah, man. I'll do you want me to put in another one?
Ah, oh, look, yeah, you can't have too many horns, can you?
Oh, man, I gotta make
something. Wait, I know what you can make. You already... Okay, Greg is looking around the room, looking on the floor to see what things he can find to make snap. All right,
I already talked about my second desk.
No, yeah, tell it. Just go make the desk snap, and that's a perfect one.
I did it last week.
Didn't you, really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. What about shelving?
Yeah, make some shelves happen.
All right, it's an office theme. Are you ready? Okay, well, you don't need to be ready because I'm doing it.
I've lost the
Hey, horn. Tom, you know what you should do and everyone should make snapping is you should put up some... you should put up some shelving in your office for your old car models. Go and make it snapping. And PS, we bought a drone and I was using it yesterday and it's amazing.
Okay, that was
That's
that was
next week. Next week.
Okay. Report back on the drone next week.
Next week, drone. Yeah. Our house looks amazing.
Yeah, I want to. We should do a Facebook Live snapping where you take us on a tour of the house one day.
Okay, sure. Wait, inside or outside? Not inside. I need shelves for it.
Make that snapping, and then we'll do the outside in the meantime.
See, that was a good one.
That's pretty good.
All right, okay, Tom, I will talk to you when you're in Hawaii.
See ya, buddy.
See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.